Join us for today's scripture readings. I'll be reading from Psalm 63, 1 through 8. Charlene will be reading from Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Have you seen in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory? Because of your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. My right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me.
Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or these 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told the parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but they didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard.
It's a funny thing when you go to the place where the Bible was written. When you do, things begin to take on a deeper sense. And maybe it all depends on where you came from in the first place, where you were originally born and raised. Our psalm reading this morning begins with this line: as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And when you come from northeastern Pennsylvania, you seldom have worried about such things. A weary land where there is no water rarely makes sense up there. As a farmer, I can tell you I spent more time wishing and praying for less water. The rains to hold off a bit, that was the farmer battle that I had in my land. It can make a difference of where you're from when you read a psalm like this one. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water begins to make a little more sense around here. Over the years, as Miss Connie and I have traveled back and forth on our trips on 81 between Susquehanna and Harrisonburg, we have traveled through the Cumberland Valley through the dead of summer and seen cornfields that weren't going to make it, seeing half-grown stalks of corn shriveling in the fields, corn being harvested with a haybine. Corn with a haybine. This morning's psalm is a little easier to appreciate if you were born and raised around here, for it can get plenty dry around here sometimes. But when you go to where the Bible was written, things begin to make even more sense. Its language, its words, its metaphors, the images that appear in the Bible get a little closer to the heart when you go there. On our trip in the Bible lands, I remember seeing this man one day. And I keep remembering him for two reasons, really. One, where we found him, where we found him working, tending his goats. And for those of you with an agricultural bent, in this land, goats graze where the sheep can't make it anymore. Goats are the ultimate scroungers. They graze a land that is truly dry and weary. The Bible gets a little deeper here. But I keep remembering this man for a second reason, too. He was a despondent man, and I could only guess as the reasons why. I suspect his life was difficult, for his goats were not the bouncy and playful types you see in this valley. His goats were busy looking for scraps of anything green or crunchy brown. And my guess is that his life was not much better than the goats he was tending. And maybe he even chafed at the notion of us tourists coming by and then quickly passing on. I don't know for sure, but I can tell you he was a despondent man. In this day and age, we will most often speed read our scriptures. We cruise them. I timed a reading of Psalm 63 in the office on Thursday morning. My timer stopped at 1 minute, 11 seconds, and 11 hundredths of a second. I did a Psalm 63 reading in 1.1.11. But I do not think this verse, 1, is meant to be such a quickie. The face of this man tells me otherwise, that words like Psalm 63, I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, come with a struggle that can be etched on the face of a person. I had a woman tell me recently that she imagines that there are two lines of people going into heaven. One line for people entering joyfully and blissfully, and another line of people who have a few questions for God to be asked at the entry doors of heaven. And I do not think she is alone in that line. There are plenty of people, and maybe some of us, if in a spate of honesty would allow it, are carrying around some heavier stuff. We are carrying stuff too. This is an olive tree. It is not a fig tree, although both olives and figs grow in the land where the Bible was written. And it is indeed a funny thing, for when you go into the land where the Bible was written, things become a little different. I chose this picture not so much for the tree, but for the ground beneath it. For there is an agricultural practice going on here that we rarely see around here, and Jesus alluded to this agricultural practice in one of his parables. Sometime when you are out and about, take notice of the orchards around here. When you are driving by Schatzer's, when you're up on Letterkenny Road, when you are golfing over on Piney Apple Golf Course, take notice of the orchards around you and how grasses are left growing between the trees. Here, grass is a good thing, where the rains tend to come all year round. Sod holds the moisture and it stops erosions when the heavier bursts of rains come. Now, a recent trip through Palestine took place in early November, just before the rainy season. Even saying rainy season makes it sound like rains can be monsoon-like or torrential every day. But no, the rainy season means that whatever rains do come will come that time of the year, that part of the year, and some of it will come as a cloudy mist. And to get ready, the olive tree farmers and the fig tree farmers will begin to get on it. They will begin tilling the soils around their trees, and it is a rather rock-infested and burdensome chore. But they take the pains to loosen the soil, soften it up so that it will receive the rain when it comes, so that the olive trees and fig trees will drink in the rain that the soil has collected to have a chance to live and to produce. So then one day some people happened to be talking to Jesus, and from the sounds of it, these folks were the second line of people going into heaven, the line of people going into heaven asking God questions, for they came to Jesus with them, with their questions. They wanted to know why two very crappy things had happened in their place lately. They were both gut-wrenching things, horrifying events, and they wanted to know why these things happen. In one, the now famous Pontius Pilate had slaughtered a group of Galilean Jews, and then, to twist the knife even further, had the audacity to mingle their blood with the blood of the very lambs that they had brought for sacrifice and worship. That is so freaking despicable. Good Lord, why did that happen? And the second event was a local tower had collapsed, crushing 18 people beneath it. An accident, we might call it, which is easier to do when it's not your kin, not your kid, not your kind. It's just an accident is easier to call. But good Lord, why? Why did the tower fall on them? These people were talking to Jesus and they wanted to know why these bad things happened. Was it, could it be that God was punishing them for their sins? Was it that? Was that the reason? And come now, where have we heard this before? Where have we heard this very same pronouncement being made, like when some towers in the United States came down? Was it because of some great sin in the United States going on? Well, it was. That was exactly the reason some famous preachers were quick to say, it is God's judgment on us. That's the reason. And truth be told, a lot of us believed it, because even a bad reason is better for the brain than no reason at all. We yearn to satisfy our whys. But when these people asked Jesus the very same question, was it their sins? He said, no. That is not it. It is not their sin. And he went on to say that you really should change your mind on such things. You should repent, which means to change your mind. That is in verse 3 and in verse 5. Change your thinking. And then Jesus told them a parable, which does seem like very odd timing, to say the least. When their life and death questions are on the table, Jesus breaks out a parable about a man who had planted a fig tree in his vineyard that should have been growing figs on it for 3 years now, but it didn't, and so he told the gardener to go ahead and cut it down. It was, after all, wasting everyone's time. It was taking up the soil. It was using precious water. Cut it down now. But sir, the gardener in the parable said, let it go for one more year. I will dig around it. I will put some manure on it, water, fertilizer, and time. Let's give it one more year. Let's see if it bears next year. Let's see what happens. And there we go. Jesus leaving off with, let's see what happens in a year. During our season of Lent this year, you will have noticed some people are bringing empty bowls and placing them on this table. It is what we'd call a symbolic action. Along with their words and their stories and their questions and their longings and even their songs and empty bowls being placed on our table. The ones coming forward to place their bowls, me the first week, Lisa last week, Jason this week, all have been asked ahead of time. We've had time to organize our thoughts, what to say in front of people. But maybe we're doing it all wrong. Maybe the table should be bigger. Maybe the table should be bigger so that others can also bring a bowl. Those who may be carrying their own dose of heaviness and harboring daunting questions. Those who are just plain fed up could also bring one up, an empty bowl. I don't know. Maybe our table should get bigger. It is a funny thing when you go to where the Bible was written. Things begin to take on a deeper sense. Jesus said that we should change our thinking. He said in his parable, let's give it a year. Let's see what happens given some time. Buried in the third verse of today's psalm reading, it says, your steadfast love is better than life. And if you happen to be one of those who is a carrier of troubles or shame or unresolved stuff or grief, or if you just happen to be one who seems to be trudging along in a dry and weary land for a very long time now, then God's love is at its best when it is steadfast. Steadfast love is the best kind of love. It is the kind of love that comes from heaven, the kind that follows our lives around no matter what happens. It was a very odd move, it seems, for Jesus to plant a parable right in the middle of people's hard questions. But parables are not meant to be heard as secure answers. And maybe that be because platitudinous reasons and fancy theories might come across as plausible, even believable, yet in the end they cannot heal us. A parable is a different sort of thing. It comes as an invitation for us to enter into it. And maybe some days we find ourselves akin to a fig tree. Nice green branches and yet no fruit. Undernourished, helpless or hopeless, despondent, dry and weary, an empty bowl of life. And yet Psalm 63 has some lovely things to say to those with dry and thirsty, fainting souls, that the Lord's steadfast love is better than life, but that there also may come times in our life when we will have to cling to it for all it's worth until new growth can begin.